The message you're about to hear was preached at Oncarrig Baptist Church, located in Limerick City, Ireland. You're welcome to visit our website at acbc.ie, where you'll find loads of information and resources. You are also welcome to visit one of our weekly meetings on Sundays or Wednesdays. We look forward to seeing you and hope you enjoy this message from the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, he had never been to the town of Colossae, who he'd written this letter to. The church itself, it was the result of a mission work. Two years after this letter was written, the town was destroyed by an earthquake. But the letter wasn't only written for the people of Colossae. It was divinely inspired for all Christians throughout the ages. And the Apostle Paul, he was in prison when he wrote the letter. And within those prison walls, while he was there, he had these Colossian people on his mind. He was thinking about them. He was praying for them. And here in Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul tells us some of the things that he prayed for while he was in prison. And this morning, I titled my message, Praying for Christians. Praying for Christians. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for giving us instruction. Help us, Father, to get an understanding of how to pray for other Christians. And I help us to see some of the things that the Apostle Paul felt were very important. And I ask, Lord, that you would please help us to May your word change our lives and help us to be more conformed to the image of your Son when we leave today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you read through the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, you'll find many things there that the Apostle Paul did not pray for. One thing he did not pray for, he never prayed to get out of prison. He never prayed to be saved from execution. As far as we know. And as far as we can see, he didn't pray for financial support. He didn't pray for his chronic health problems. He didn't pray that God would prosper people's businesses or heal their sicknesses or even to save relatives. Now I'm not saying that these are wrong things to pray for, but there were probably times when he did pray for these things, but we don't find them recorded in the Bible. But what we do find is something a little bit different. What he did pray for, and the question is, what did he pray for? What did he petition the throne of God for? And here in Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul tells us, he's telling the Colossians some of the things that he prayed for, and so we can see some of the things that he prayed about for Christians that were in the city of Colossae. And in Colossians 1 verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you." So the Apostle Paul, he starts out telling them, we've been praying for you, and he goes on listing the things that he's been praying for them, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his wisdom, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So first, we can see in Colossians 1:9, that he prays, first he prays that they would have a spiritual vision. People in the secular world, if you talk to business people, or I just wanted to try out the restaurant over here. It's supposed to be French, but they had a lot of Irish food. I was surprised. There wasn't much French food there. Or maybe the Irish, maybe the French eat the same as the Irish. I don't know. anyway, but it wasn't what I expected. But as I was sitting there, there was a lady nearby that was talking to a man about her life, and it seemed like he was one of those life coaches that people hire. But people in the secular world, they try to develop goals for their life's work. They develop goals for their family life. They have a vision for their retirement or for their business venture, and they'll hire a life coach to help them to develop goals and a vision for their life. But many Christians don't have a vision for their spiritual life. Many people, they merely read the Bible, they go to church without a vision as to where they're going or where they want to go or where they want to be in their spiritual life. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And, you know, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in the next 10 years? Where do you want to be in the next 5 years or next year? But we need a vision, and this is one of the things that the Apostle Paul prayed about concerning the Christians of Colossae, that they would have goals that they were working on achieving in their spiritual lives. And the Apostle Paul prayed that they would have a spiritual vision to receive the truth. And it says in Colossians 1:9, and to desire, he prays for them, and to desire that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And when we pray for other believers, we should pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of truth, that they would not be forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. Because there's a danger. There's a danger of walking outside of these doors and forgetting what you heard. There's a danger of the Lord speaking to you in your own private devotions and forgetting what the Lord spoke to you about, not writing it down, just forgetting about it. It's easy to do. You know, you put down the Bible and you pick up Facebook and the thought is gone. You know, you leave church and you go home and you turn on a film on the television and the everything is gone. And this is what happens a lot to Christians, and we ought to be praying for other Christians that they would have a vision of knowing the Word of God, and that they would be fit, that it would fill and guide and lead their lives. Second, that they would have a spiritual vision to not just to receive the truth, but to apply the truth. In Colossians 1:9, it goes on. It says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom." So we see also that they would apply the truth. You know, knowledge is like the Legos. And I think I've given this illustration before. Knowledge is like the Legos. Wisdom is like the instructions. You know, you can have the Legos. You know, somebody can give you a big box of Legos. My wife just bought Legos yesterday. She bought a whole bunch of Legos. Was I not supposed to say that? Oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to tell the kids. It was probably a Christmas present. Kendrick knew. So my wife bought Legos yesterday. So with those Legos, now the Legos were all mixed up. The guy sorted them by color, but there's also, he also gave the instructions. So we could take the instructions, find the pieces, and then make whatever it is. But without those instructions, you're probably not going to be able to make what you need to make. And the same thing with wisdom. Wisdom, the knowledge are the Legos, and the wisdom is the instructions. Wisdom, because wisdom is knowing how to take that knowledge and put it together the right way. If you have the wrong, if you have worldly wisdom, you know, or for instance, you know, if you take a knife is a great thing. You could take a knife. If you have the wrong wisdom, you might use it to hurt somebody. But you can also take that same knife and you can cut meat with it, and you can cut vegetables with it, and you could cut, you know, you can cut all kinds. You can cut things with it and do things with that knife. It's a great tool, but it can be used in a wrong way. And the same with wisdom. You know, when we have godly wisdom, it helps us to take that knowledge and to use it for God, or to use it in the right way. We can receive knowledge, but we still need to know how that knowledge can be applied to our lives. Mm-hmm. And when we pray for other believers, we need to pray that they would have wisdom, and that God would give them the wisdom, that God would give them the understanding to be able to apply truth that they learn from the Word of God. This book is full of Legos, but we need the wisdom on how to use those Legos in our own lives. And we need wisdom to be able to apply what we learn to our lives, our family, our relationships, the films we watch, the music we listen to, the things that we read. And we live in a dark world. So Christians need wisdom from God on how to live for him. So how to apply truth. That's one of the things the Apostle Paul prayed for these people. And also how to perceive truth. And it says, and spiritual in all wisdom and spiritual understanding at the end of the verse. Many Christians, they don't understand what's happening in their lives or in the world. You know, understanding, when you understand something, it can help you stay calm. It can help you, it helps you make wise decisions. It helps you, understanding helps you to avoid problems in the future. We might not be getting our prayers answered, or somebody might not be getting their prayers answered and getting mad at God. But if we have the understanding that, you know, maybe we're not praying in God's will. Maybe we have sin in our life that's hindering, and we were learning about that today. Maybe we have sin in our life that's hindering us. And the Bible even says in 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he heareth us. It doesn't mean he's going to do it. but we also need to realize that it needs to be according to his will. You know, if we're praying out of God's will, you know, if you're praying for €1 million, it might not be what God wants for you. but when we have understanding that that it's sin in our life can hinder our prayers, and it being in God, what we pray for needs to be in the will of God, and all these different factors. When we have an understanding of that, then we can understand, well, you know, I didn't get my prayer answered, but there might be a reason for it. And maybe I'm not praying for the right thing. Maybe there's sin in my life. Maybe God doesn't want me to have it right now. But we'll have an understanding, and we will be less likely to doubt God. It'll help us not to doubt God when we have understanding. When we pray for other believers, we need to pray that they would be able to relate to the truth with spiritual understanding. We should be praying that the Lord would give other Christians spiritual understanding. You know, often I see well-meaning Christians fall into pitfalls because they lack that spiritual understanding of the world around them. They don't realize the dangers that they're playing with. They don't, you know, if you don't want to drink, don't go where the drink is, you know. If you don't want a loss, don't go somewhere or be looking at women dressed immodestly. If you want a lasting godly marriage to a man who gives himself to you, or a lady who respects you, then look for someone that's following God, you know. You know, what I've seen happen is evil, or the devil convinces a young person that they're never going to find a mate because there aren't any that they can see around, and then another one falls away. But if, you know, if all those young people that I've known over the years that fell away because of that excuse, and instead decided to follow God, there'd be loads of young people to choose from. But the problem is they give up, and then because they give up, they make it so somebody else doesn't have somebody as well. But we should pray that other Christians would have understanding. But what it comes from is a lack of understanding that God has somebody for you. God wants you to be in, God wants you to have, you know, have, be in his perfect will. He has a will for your life. He has a mate for you. He has somebody for you that's going to treat you good, and it's going to be a good wife. It's going to be a good husband. And we need to follow God and wait for that person to come along. But we should pray, that Christians would have understanding, and not just in that area, in other areas as well. And next, he also, if you look at Colossians 1:10, it says in the next verse, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here he's talking about having a spiritual zeal. So the Apostle Paul prayed that they would have spiritual zeal. You know, I love seeing the zeal of Munster fans. People love that team. People love it. They pay high prices for the shirts. They pay high prices for the matches. They know all the statistics of the team and the players, that going back years, they have a zeal for Munster, for the Munster rugby team, and they'll support them with everything they have. But not just rugby. People have a zeal for hurling, for music, for art, for the latest pop stars. They'll hang their posters on the wall, for films, for Guinness. But what about the Lord? You know, as long as as long as something's not sinful, it's okay to have a zeal for it. But there's something wrong when a Christian is more zealous for somebody kicking a rugby ball down a pitch than for the person who suffered their punishment in hell, of hell. People will pay high prices for clothing. You know, people pay high prices for clothing and tickets to see a match. But when you talk about giving to the Lord's work, they get annoyed. They get upset. They get stubborn. And why is that? It's because they lack zeal for the Lord. And Paul prayed for these Christians that they'd have zeal. They'd have a spiritual zeal, and first of all, in their Christian walk. And you can see here in Colossians 1:10, it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. You know, it's true. It's true that God loves us no matter what. God, that's agape love. God loves us. He has an agape love. He loves you. You know, if you went out and you committed some heinous crime, God would still love you. God loves the world. That's agape love. He loved the world. He knows we're sinful. He knows the world is sinful. The world has their back turned against him, and they do everything contrary to his word. If they can find a verse in there, they'll do the opposite, you know. But the world's always going against God, and we as Christians, we struggle with the same temptations. We struggle because we still have that fleshly desire. But God still loves us. He has that agape love. But you know, a wife should be loved like Christ loved the church. But it would be a whole lot easier to love a wife like Christ loved the church if they tried to be worthy of that love. A parent is to be obeyed. But it would be a whole lot easier for that parent to be obeyed if they earn the right to be obeyed. A husband is to be obeyed. But it would be a whole lot easier if that husband lived worthy of that obedience. And Christians will say, you know, I can live how I want. You can't judge me. I'm living in the grace of God. Well, imagine if your wife and kids said that. Dad, I don't have to listen to you. I'm living. You know, you love me anyways. It doesn't matter how I live. I can do whatever I want. You know, it's true. God does love us no matter what. And that's agape love. But we should be trying to walk worthy of that love. And the Apostle Paul prayed that the Christians of Colossae would live their lives worthy of the Lord, holy and acceptable unto God. Paul prayed for these Christians also that they'd have a zeal of works in the Christian life. He said, being fruitful in every good work. God wants us to work for him, serving others, giving to others, spreading the gospel, teaching people what we learn from his word. You know, when you learn something from preaching or from the word of God in your own devotions, and it helps you, you could tell somebody about it. Teach somebody else about what you learned. Learning to win souls, memorizing verses. There was a lady I knew that was, she was learning to win souls. She was memorizing verses. And she asked a coworker to help her, and that coworker wasn't saved. And as that coworker's helping her to memorize these verses, these salvation verses, he got under conviction, and he ended up asking her, you know, can I get saved? And the lady was able to lead him to Christ. But it can happen that way. Sometimes, you know, if we're teaching somebody or showing somebody, you know, she wasn't trying to be sneaky about it, but you know, he was interested. But Paul prayed for these Christians that they would have a spiritual zeal of works. He also prayed that they would have a spiritual zeal of knowledge of the Christian life. And at the end it says being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, how much do we know about God? um, I'm posting these questions. Could you lead somebody to Christ if they asked you how to get to heaven? Could you do that? Now we have tracts, so you could pull a tract out and explain through it. But could you do that? Could you explain any evidence for the existence of God in our world? If the Bible was ever taken away or banned, how much would you know in your own heart? Next, what book describes the view of man's life under the sun? And some of these are questions. There's a pastor, he made this book, and these are just some of the things. Some of them are my own, but but this one's from his book. But he was saying that these are some of the questions Christians should know how to answer. Now, I mean, if we're new to the Bible, that's fine. But these are things that we could work on. What book after his resurrection? Oh, after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to more than how many people at once? What verse says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? What verse says that the devil has blinded the minds of men which believe not? What is the Greek equivalent for Messiah? What's the meaning of grace? What does grace mean? People use grace a lot these days. But a lot of times it's just to condone their, you know, living how they want. But what's the meaning of grace? What passage says that salvation is by grace through faith without works? Now, I'm not picking on anyone. I didn't ask anyone to truly answer it. But if you could only answer a few of those questions, or if you couldn't answer any of them, or maybe just a few of them, you're not alone. You're not the only one. I'd say most people can't. But this is why we need to pray for Christians, that they would have a spiritual zeal for the knowledge of God. Because some of these, it would be important, you know, especially if you're talking to somebody about the gospel. The one about how many people appeared before Jesus, some people don't realize it was 500 at once. A lot of people don't know that, but that's one of the proofs for the resurrection, was that 500 people saw him at one time, because they make up all kinds of stuff. They'll say that all those people were on mushrooms or something, you know, on drugs, you know, hallucinating. But, you know, you're not going to get 500 people hallucinating at once, seeing Jesus resurrected. But there, some of these are good answers for people who have questions that you can give if you know the answers. But this is why we need to pray for Christians, that they would have a spiritual zeal for the knowledge of God. Next, last verse in Colossians 1:11, it says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness." So here we could see that the Apostle Paul prayed that they would have spiritual success. You know, there are Christians, they start out well, but they're not successful. They fall away from church. They fall into easy living churches, when the entertainment services like a disco. They never really grow in the Lord. They run away to Sweden and only come to church two times, twice every 3 weeks. Anyway, but there are a lot of Christians. They get sidetracked. They never finish their course. And we've been talking about that this year, about finishing your course. And the Apostle Paul was praying that these Christians would be successful in their spiritual lives and not fall on the wayside. He wanted them to be successful. And the secret to spiritual success, he says in verse 11, he says, "Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power." And that's the secret to spiritual success. The Apostle Paul prayed that they would be strengthened with the power of God. Because we can't live the Christian life in our own strength. It takes the power of God. you know, races, running the Limerick run, it's really not easy. When in big marathons where people win a prize, it's not an easy thing to win those things. It's not an easy at Limerick. Winning the All Ireland wasn't easy. Running a successful business, it isn't easy. And if living the Christian life was easy, you know, everybody would be doing it. Many Christians turn to the wide road, but to walk with God on the narrow road, it takes the power of God. It's going to take God's strength, not our own. And when we pray for other, and so we, when we pray for other Christians, we need to pray that they would be strengthened with the power of God to live the Christian life and to be successful in it. The Apostle Paul also prayed for the range of their spiritual success. He goes on, he says, according to his power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So the Apostle Paul prayed that their spiritual success would reach into all patience. You know, many of the sins that people commit, they're because of impatience. People get angry because of impatience, most of the time. People sleep together before marriage, and the Bible calls that fornication, because of impatience. It's because of impatience. People get into credit card debt because of impatience. People compromise their Christian beliefs because of impatience. Pastors forsake godly services for entertainment services because of impatience. They want to see fast growth. So they change this and they change that and they try to appeal to people and get more people in. And that's the reason. It's impatience. That's what it's based on. And we need to pray for people for God's power, that God's power would strengthen them with all patience. Or strengthen them in all patience. Paul also prayed that their spiritual success would also reach into all long suffering. Long suffering, that word means to suffer and to keep on going for a long time while you're suffering. To go forward in the midst of suffering, to not allow that suffering to stop you, but to continue going. That's what long suffering is. It's when you don't give up, even when you are suffering. Many Christians, when they face difficulty, when they face suffering, they give up. They face persecution, they give up. They face criticism, they give up praying, they give up reading the Bible, they give up going to church. But we need to pray for Christians that God's power would strengthen them in all long suffering. So he prayed about long suffering and patience, that God's power would be in both of those. You know, we can also see that the Apostle Paul prayed that they would have both this long suffering and this patience, it says at the end of the verse, with joyfulness. Now, happiness comes when things happen to us, but joy comes from God. We may be patient. You know, you can be patient but still have a sour attitude. Don't raise your hands. But we can be patient with a sour attitude, bitter, angry, you know, Lord, why, what's wrong with you, you know, with a bad attitude. We can be long-suffering, but complaining about it the whole time. You know, you're waiting on God, but you're complaining about it. But the Apostle Paul prayed that these Christians would be patient and long-suffering with joy. So he thought it was important. But not just joy, joyfulness. That they would be full of joy in the midst of their pain and their long-suffering. And, you know, it's good to pray. It's good to pray for Christians. It's good to pray for people to get a job. It's good to pray for their... praying is asking. And God wants us to come to Him with our needs. God wants us to come to Him with our hurts and things. But when we pray for other Christians, there are things that the Apostle Paul thought were important to pray for the Christians of Colossae, and we ought to do the same for other Christians as well. And when we pray for other Christians, we ought to pray for that they would have a spiritual vision, that they would be able to receive, apply, and perceive the truth from the Word of God, that they would have a spiritual zeal in their Christian walk, in their Christian works, and in their Christian knowledge. and that they would have spiritual success with power of God reaching patience and long suffering with all joyfulness. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.